41st chapter. 41st chapter. You know, when you found the passage, you look through it to find the text. But when you pick out a text and start off at one level, I'm looking at a whole chapter here. You know what text you ought to pick out if you're going to talk about a text in this chapter? You know what it is? It's in that 16th verse. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an axe." The deeper you get into this story of Joseph, the grander it becomes. You begin to see why the major portion of the book of Genesis is given over to Joseph. There's more about Joseph in the book of Genesis than anybody else. More space is given to this story of the experience of Joseph. And tonight we reach the place when he gets out of prison. And he lands as the second man of the kingdom. From a dungeon, deserted, forgotten, nobody cared for him, up to the second in all of Egypt. Now God did it for Joseph. God had a purpose in it for Joseph. What I've been trying to tell you people as we move along through these messages of Joseph is that God can take care of his own, even when they're in prison. And God will take care of any man that's wholly, completely given over to him. God will do it. We have a God who controls all things, the heavens and the earth, and the works of his hands. He just had to speak a word and it was all created. All he has to do is to speak that right word, and the dead will all come out of the grave. We serve the Almighty God. And the glory of the Christian faith, the grandeur of our hope, has been that our God will take care of you. God will take care of you, and God took care of you. Now, as I've outlined this experience of Joseph, he was the envy of his brothers. He had dreams. And you know, it's a dream that pains him. It's a dream that gets him out of prison. This young dreamer, they didn't like him. He was the favorite of his father. His brothers took him and they envied him and they put him in a pit. They took him out and sold him to the Midianites. He went down into Egypt. He became a slave in Potiphar's house. Everything was against Joseph, but God was for him. And beloved, if there's one lesson that you need to learn, it makes no difference how adversity may come. It makes no difference what circumstances may multiply that look evil to you. You trust your God and God will be with you. And God will use you. And you see here the span of the life of Joseph. And I wonder about the span of your life. I wonder sometime about the span of my life. And you wonder what God is going to do with you and how God is going to finish the story before the tale is told. You wonder about these things, but beloved, when you are trusting God in your life and in his hands and you know you've been redeemed and you're a son of God, you can live down here with the greatest of confidence and with the full assurance that what you've committed unto him, he's able to keep against that great day. Now, Joseph was a man of faith. A man of tremendous faith. As the story opens tonight, Pharaoh's had a dream. He had two of them in one night. Isn't it interesting how God can get over all the barriers of mankind, he can get over all the walls of houses, he can get all through the ceremonies and the forms, and he can enter into the mind of a king of Pharaoh while he's sleeping at night. God can do it. And he did it in order that he might deliver Joseph. Oh, beloved, when you think of the grandeur and the power of our God, why can't Christians trust him? Why can't we go out and do what he says we should do? Why do we have to cheat and lie and steal and try to look out for our own affairs by being crooked? Why can't we do that which is honorable and right before God and let him take care of the kings and the princes for us? Because he will. They did it for Joseph. So God spoke to Pharaoh in a dream. Seven fat cattle, seven thin cattle. The thin ones ate the fat ones up, and they were still thin. Didn't that sound great? Seven fat cattle, seven thin cattle, the thin ones ate the fat ones up, and they were still skinny. That's the story. Seven fatty of the corn, seven slimy of the corn, the slimy of the corn ate up the fatty of the corn, and they were still slimy. Two dreams in one night. And Pharaoh's trouble the next morning. His brain in the dish that Egypt was full of, with their jumping frogs and all manner of lice and everything else. Bring in the soothsayers, bring in the magicians, and Pharaoh called them together, and he rehearsed to them the story of his dreams. He saw by the river, seven fat cattle. He saw by the river, seven thin cattle. He saw by the river, oh, it's the river of Egypt, and this is Egypt. And it was all so clear, but when he woke up, it was a dream. And the thin cattle ate up the fat cows, and the thin cows were still thin. And he told his story. And the magician did them. They looked around the world, tried some of these things, and they tried every communication they had with the outside world and with the underground, and they dealt with the spirits that mutter and teeth, and they did everything in their power to get some sort of solution to that riddle. And there wasn't a magician in all of Egypt that could find an answer to that dream. It's the strangest thing you ever saw. Seven fat cows, seven thin cows, the thin ones eat up the fat ones, and they're still thin. At least you all gave some by eating such fat cows. There'll be some little recompense out of that situation. Seven fatty ears of corn. Seven thin ears of corn. The thin ears of corn eat up the fatty ears of corn, and they're still thin. But what happened to the fat ones while they were eating? Nobody could answer. Nobody could see the solution. And the old Pharaoh, he was perplexed, and he was puzzled, and he began to accuse his magicians, and he began to call the wise men unwise, and he was simply beside himself. The dream was too vivid. The experience was too besetting. A dream of this kind was unusual indeed. Nobody in Egypt had anything just like it, and all the years of Egypt and the magicians had no precedent. They had nothing to which they could appeal, and they were completely helpless in the presence of this dream of Pharaoh. Beloved, God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. And who is the disputer of this world? Where is the wise man of this world? Where is he when God gets ready to do something? Where is he? Well, you remember the story of the butler who came in with his cup, you know? And he heard all the disputations of the magicians. He saw the countenance of his life. And you read here, "I do remember my faults this day." It dawns on him. He forgot all about Joseph. He says, "I remember I told Joseph, but I wouldn't forget him. I told Joseph that I'd speak a word for him, the Pharaoh. And Joseph said to me when I left the prison and I went out with my dream fulfilled, 'Joseph, when you come up to the presence of Pharaoh, don't you forget me.'" He says, "I remember my faults." He forgot. 2 years it's been since the butler was let out of prison and went back to serving Pharaoh. He forgot. But you know, when you come to this juncture of the story, we forget. But God has ways in his providence of bringing back these things before men and accomplishing his purposes through them. I believe that the purposes of God are in the falling of the star. I believe that every hair on your head is numbered. And I believe that our God controls the end from the beginning. He knows all things in his eternal purposes. Do you realize how great our God is? Do you realize how grand and powerful our God is? And the one thing I want to show you as we come to the end of the story, you see the report. Everything in it that Joseph has anything to say about is God. It's God that spoke to Pharaoh. It's God that's giving him an answer. It's God that's doing these things in these passages. And Joseph sees it. Why, Joseph is like one of these Christians that every time something happened, he gets up and says, "The Lord did. The Lord did. The Lord." That's the kind of a man Joseph is. And so the butler says, "I remember, my father. You remember when you sent me to prison?" He says to Pharaoh, "You remember you put me down there in the ward of the captain of the guard?" He says, "I was in there one night, I had a dream." And he says, "The man said he had a dream, so we both had a dream the same night. And we know what it was. And we couldn't understand it. We asked around, and he says there was a Hebrew in there, called him a Hebrew. And we told our dream to him, and he told us the interpretation of that dream. And I was freed on the third day and came back to serve you, and the baker had his head cut off, just like the dream said." Imagine what Pharaoh must have thought when he said that. Anybody who could interpret a dream to get you back up here and get the baker with his head cut off, where did that dream come from? And what do you read here? "And Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they brought him in a hurry. They brought him hastily. Been in prison for 2 years. What hope was it for Joseph ever getting out of prison? Pharaoh said, 'Go get him in a hurry and bring him up here, and let's get the answer to this dream that I have.'" Now look at the account, 14 to 15 verse. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it. And I have heard Pharaoh be, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret. And Joseph answered, Pharaoh said, it is not in me. I don't interpret dreams. I have no power to explain dreams. God shall give Pharaoh an answer. The God whom I serve, the God of my father, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Anna will give you an answer, Pharaoh. He'll interpret your dream. And notice the little words in two. He'll give you such an answer that you'll accept it. He'll give you such an answer that you'll be satisfied with. He'll give you such an answer that you will say, this is it, and you'll be in peace." Now, I said it to this passage, I just like to look at old Pharaoh. Ungodly he really was. Ruling as a tyrant over all, master of everything that there was. He had a dream in the night. He gets all upset about his dream, calls in all the magicians, calls in all the wise men, and they can't help him. And then the butler, the servant, the butler that doesn't mean anything to him. The butler says, "I had a dream in prison out there when you were putting me down." Why didn't Pharaoh say, "Oh, close your mouth, I'm not interested, you butler, you don't know anything about this." No, he listens to the butler. He says, "Go get him, bring him in here, hurry." And when he gets Joseph up out of prison, he's not worried about what kind of life Joseph has. He's not worried about the kind of suffering Joseph has. He says, "I had a dream, sir, and I want you to tell me the interpretation of it. The whole thing's a dream." Would you kindly tell me who got the old Pharaoh of Egypt so upset about his dream? Who got him all upset about his dream? Who got him beside himself about his dream? Who was the one that made him send for Joseph? Who did that? God. All answers in the purposes of God. Well, when you read a story like this, you believe in prayer. When you read a story like this, you believe that God can lift up and God can undertake. And the heart of the king is in the hollow of his hand. And that's the biggest. And I tell you tonight, if this old nation of ours would repent of sin and get down on its knees, if Peter Cruz ever had a heart attack or something else, God would take care of it. God will honor people who will trust him. And this nation of ours, if it could just turn back and put its faith and its trust in the God of Joseph, and the God who interprets dreams, and the God who's given us a revelation, which tells us about sin and death and hell and judgment, and then gives to us the remedy, which is the life which we find in Christ. Now Joseph listens to the dream. This is the second, I think, the third time. This thing gets told over so many times. And it's chapter over and over again. And each time it's told, there's a little touch that's added that wasn't in the first report. Some little touch is added to it that enriches it, gives it a little more. And Joseph said, "God, give it to you, Pharaoh. You know at this point, I don't think Pharaoh's much interested in God. He's not interested in Joseph. He's so upset he wants an answer. That's all. Just tell me what it is." That's the overriding consideration. But the impact of it all, there is terrific testimony before the king of Israel, the king of Egypt. And David said, "I will stand before kings and not be afraid." Joseph comes out of prison, stands before Pharaoh. He's not afraid. So Pharaoh rehearses his dream, and you move down to verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream is one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. God interprets dreams. God has given to Pharaoh an understanding of what he's about to do." Every time Joseph opens his mouth in this passage, he gives testimony to God. Every time Joseph opens his mouth in this passage, he gives credit and gives testimony to God. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good times, 7 years, the 7 good years of corn, 7 years, the dreams of one. Dreams of one, all put together, both of the same thing. The 7 sins, and the ill favored kind that came up after them, are 7 years, and the empty years, the 7 years, that's it. This is the thing that I've spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he shows unto Pharaoh. Let's stop there just a minute. God, by the means of dreams, is showing Pharaoh what's in the future, in order that he might bring Jacob down to Joseph before him again. And in order that the brethren who threw out Joseph and determined to quit might have to come down and meet the brother again in a place of great power. My friends, you cannot run away from your sin. Don't you think you ever can? You have to face him someday. And here, the brethren of Joseph are going to have to face Joseph as he has the power of life and death over them. The whole thing's going to be reversed. And what does God do? He uses a dream. He tells the future. The woman that God couldn't do right in Egypt 4,000 years ago. If God couldn't do right with the Pharaoh 4,000 years ago, God Almighty can give to you and me a Bible which is written by the inspiration of a prophet, and we have a record that tells us all about the future. And we have a record that tells us all about the things that God is going to shortly bring to pass upon the earth as he consummates the age and brings the dispensation to a close. And you and I have a dream in this book. We have a message of God in this book, and we can read it. And we don't need Joseph to interpret it to us anymore. We need the Holy Spirit to go back to the store. Then we're down to verse 32. You run into the name of God again. Everywhere you turn, it's God. For that the dream was doubled and failed twice, it is because the thing is established by God. And God will shut the thing at the past. You notice the places in that passage that Joseph is talking about God going to do this and God is doing this. Joseph sees the hand of God in that. Did you ever hear that wonderful text? All things work together for good to them who are the Lord. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the cause according to His purpose. And it's because, according to His purpose, that we run into when we see Joseph moving up now to be the prime minister of Egypt. Now the dream sense, dreams interpreted, Joseph told him what it is. And now notice what Joseph does. He gives Pharaoh some advice he didn't ask for. That's right. He gives him some advice he didn't ask for. Pharaoh knows the interpretation of the dream. So Joseph got up there and interpreted the dream, and when that was finished, put Joseph back in prison. What did Joseph say? Let me tell you something. Look at that verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look at a man. Joseph begins to make a speech. Joseph begins to give him some additional advice. Joseph begins to tell him what he ought to do. The Lord, when God opens doors for us, as He did for Joseph, we need to give the witness. We need to give an explanation of our understanding of what God does and the way God works. And so Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, look at our man. Discreet, wise, and send him over around Egypt. Joseph described him himself, that's all. Joseph tells him what kind of man he is. He's wise, he's discreet. Send him over around Egypt. Joseph was over Potiphar's house, had everything in Potiphar's house except his wife. Joseph stood over the prison, the guard of the prison watching his arrest, put him in charge. And Joseph was in charge of the baker and the butler when they got him there. And so Joseph says, sit down, man. He's wise. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part, 20% of the land of Egypt, in the 7th 20th years. Let them gather all the food from the good years, and put them in store, keep the food in the cities, and that food shall be there in the land against the 7 years of famine. Now verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. Now what I'd like to ask you people is this. Why is it that when Joseph came out of the prison, and interpreted the dream, they didn't say, send him back to prison, we got our job out of him? Why is it that when Joseph made these suggestions, the Pharaoh said that seems good? In other words, Pharaoh believed Joseph. Pharaoh believed Joseph's interpretation. Pharaoh accepted what Joseph had said was the meaning of the dream. Now, how in the world did Pharaoh know, simply on the testimony of one man who just come up out of prison, that this was a true interpretation? How in the world did Pharaoh know that this interpretation was the proper one? Why did he accept it? And why did he say, your recommendations now are good? And why did all the servants in the household come forward and say, my, my, that's a wonderful thing to have 7 20th years, and then to have someone around you for those things? You'll die in those 7 years. So let's follow the advice of this man out of prison. You know why, beloved? The same God that gave old Pharaoh the dream gave him the belief that Joseph's interpretation was right. What you and I must recognize is that our God is powerful enough to control the hearts of our enemies. He's powerful enough to restrain those who would harm us. He's powerful enough to use every circumstance that comes along our way and overrule us in order that we might have an opportunity to bear testimony to us. And that's what God wants you to do, beloved. The lesson that we get from this right now is that wherever you are, whatever your trial, whatever your circumstances, you give a witness to your God. You give a witness to the truth and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say with Joseph, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh answer. Oh, it's not I, not I, says Paul, but Christ. And that's the Christ that you see in Joseph as he faces Egypt. You know, I see God in Joseph getting in faith. I see God working in the heart of Pharaoh, bringing out of Pharaoh the decision to elevate Joseph. And so the Pharaoh, all Egypt says it seems good to me. And then what does he say? Well, where's the wise man in you? And we come now to verse 38, where Pharaoh himself recognizes the impact of what Joseph has been saying. The big thing has not been the dream to Joseph. The big thing to Joseph was God was doing. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as he is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. A pagan, ungodly, tyrant of Egypt. Saying, can we find anybody as wise as he? All the wise men failed me when I needed my dream interpreted. All the magicians deserted me when I needed them to give me some help in my hour of extremity when I was troubled in my dream. This man answered my dream. This man gave me the interpretation. Is there any wise man anywhere in whom the Spirit of God is? You know, one of the greatest testimonies that could ever be said about you, as you deal with the people about you, as you deal with the world, as you deal with those who would do something to you, the greatest testimony could be said is, well, they seem to have the Spirit of God. Isn't it interesting when people come and say, I wish I had what you had. I wish I had what you had. What do you have? You have the Spirit of God. You've been born again. You have the Lord God dwelling in your heart. And that should be evident. That should be about all those of us who have been bought by the price of the blood of the Lamb, those of us who have been born in the kingdom of God. For what purpose are we here? To let men know that we have the Spirit of God. Now we begin, please, with verse 39. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed me all this, there's none so discreet. Just how much did old Pharaoh believe in God? Just how much did old Pharaoh at this point really believe in Joseph's God? Did he believe in him really? Or did he say, sincere God, Joseph, he's shown you these things, we're going to bring you in, let you use your wisdom to help us in our time of famine? But Joseph was responsible for bringing Pharaoh to the place where Pharaoh saw in Joseph not a dream, but a spirit. And Pharaoh saw in what had happened to Joseph the work of God. So what did Pharaoh do? Thou shalt be over the house. It shall be according to thy word, throughout all my people. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I set thee over all the land of Egypt. You know, I often think, you hear me say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask some of these saints up there some questions. But wouldn't you like to ask Joseph how he felt in going in one short day from a dungeon in a prison the big prime minister, he was a pretty big promotion, wasn't he? A pretty big promotion. But he was ready for it. He was prepared for it. It didn't go to his head. It didn't ruin him. Those years of suffering, when he ruled Potiphar's house and did it as a good steward, prepared him for the rule of Egypt. And a man who doesn't know how to rule his own house, how can he rule the second one? And a man who doesn't know how to rule his own family, how can he be a ruler in a nation? But a man who learns how to rule and rule things will be ready for that day when God gives him a great task in order to handle for him. And Joseph had been in prison those years, and there he was, despised, forsaken, forgotten. But he ruled over the prison as a trustee. And in the hour when God was ready to use him, God lifted him up. You know, somebody often says to me, well, someday, I'll make something out of myself. Someday I'll do it. No, my friend, you'll never do it. Whatever you're going to be in the service of Jesus Christ, you're becoming like this very minute. And every single Christian should live every day as though it were his last day. Every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should serve him to the full capacity in his kingdom and make every day count. And the more you do for him, the more opportunities he'll open for you and the greater joy you'll have in the service of Jesus Christ. Joseph was prepared for his promotion. And he moved in there, and Pharaoh said, Joseph, I'm going to give you the second chariot. When I go down through the parade of all the millions of Egypt, the second chariot behind me will be Joseph, the man who interpreted the dream. I must stop here, we'll quite enlarge upon this, but what must have done in Egypt? I don't think they had newspapers, maybe they had some means to communicate, but what must have happened in Egypt? When the story went through all Egypt, a man in prison interpreted the dream. Pharaoh accepted it. The whole house, all the servants, and he's the man. And all the day, he's got the second seat, he has the second chariot. This Hebrew is the one who said, we're going to have 7 years of famine. Seven. And he's the one now who's gathering up everything and putting 20% in these big granaries, in these great big storehouses. He's the one who said. And the 7 years of plenty passed by, and the people talked to Joseph. Some mocked, some scoffed, some wouldn't believe he's gone. Some said they didn't believe this man knew what he was talking about. But here was the debate. Here was the discussion throughout Egypt. And then finally the seventh year closed, and you had the beginning of the drought. And old Nile River dried up, and there was no moisture, and there was nothing green, and all Egypt became a parched desert for 7 long years. And all they had was what Joseph had put in by. All they had was what Joseph had stacked up. But where did Joseph get his idea? Where did Joseph get his interpretation? From God. And you cannot turn to this God. You cannot look at Egypt. You cannot look at the 7 years of plenty and look at the 7 years of famine. Every time you talk about it, you have to talk about this man. Who was the spirit of God? He was the prime minister of Egypt. You believe that God has a purpose for your life? You believe he can use your life where you are? Believe it. And trust God. Believe it in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it and let him direct your path. Let him overrule the troubles and the tragedies that have come your way. Remember, John, you may not be the prime minister of Egypt as he was, but you'll be another good witness in a place which he has appointed, and he can use you there, and he'll undertake for you there, because he is the God of Joseph. Now, next Sunday night, we're going in to the days of famine, and let's see the men as they come out and come down to Egypt. Let us pray. Oh, God, we thank you that we've been in Egypt tonight. We thank you that we've seen this man, Joseph, living a life that speaks only of the Spirit of God. Oh, that Pharaoh saw in him the Spirit of God in his head. And all that men all about us could see in us the Spirit of God. See God undertaking. See God delivering. See God Almighty working in our hearts and in our lives. Our Father, we thank you that thou didst put this story with all its details in thy blessed book that we might be blessed by it tonight. Lord, we know not what a day may bring forth, but thou art the one who doth direct our steps. While we stand up for thee, thy Spirit gives dreams to Pharaoh. God bless. For Christ's sake, amen.